Good morning and welcome back to Over the Garden Fence. And if you have a question for Andy this morning, we'd love to hear from you. 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280. And now here's your host for Over the Garden Fence, Andy Waddell. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you, Larry, this spring.
Oh, same here. Always good when you walk in the door. We know, oh, gosh, spring can't be far off now.
Yeah. Well, everybody, I did see a little of that white on the lawn this morning, but sunny skies on the opposite side. So, hey, if you guys all want to dig in, let's get some timely tips out of our way, and then I would love to share some questions or ideas that you might have this morning. So, again, good, fine, sunny morning to all of you listening to another fine program on AM 590. And with sunny skies ahead of us, and hopefully the cold weather behind us, can I ask you guys a question? How many of you are just about dying to get out and do some gardening? But you can't. You're stuck inside like me, just dying to get out. But that cold rain really kind of stopped me the other day. I don't mind rain. I don't mind snow. Wet, pelting, like 31-degree rain is hard. But did you know, there is things that you can do inside to get away from that gardening or those winter blues. There's a great new hobby, or actually a craze that has started a few years ago that we're just having a blast with, and it's called miniature gardening or pint-sized gardening or fairy gardening. It's a fun way to build, landscape, design, create, all kinds of limitless ideas on in anything from a pot to an old shoe to a wheelbarrow to a broken fountain. So today, Waddell's is sponsoring a workshop and seminars from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we have a special guest, Arlena Schott from Garden Wise Living TV that runs about 200 TV stations across the Midwest. She's got a great website and is a guru on making miniature and fairy gardening. We first have three workshops this morning from Fat Blossom Farms out of Allegan, Michigan, a local company that's harvesting everything on their property for a lot of these little kits that she's made. It has little kits that could be tables and chairs and houses and little barns and farms that they put together, all from natural products. That starts at 10 o'clock, and we want to have one at 10, one at 11, and then one at 12. And then Arlena will be then coming in this afternoon, and she will be hosting from 1:30 to 2:30, is doing a seminar on the magical miniature garden seminar series. And then at 3 o'clock, she's going to do a workshop. So between 3 and 4, get your hands dirty, come out and help build. It's a fun little day, and yeah, it's a nice day outside, but boy, it is still chilly. So come on over and have fun with our Waddell's team of miniature gardeners. Could help you create a lot of fun for you in this new little hobby. And taking gardening maybe to the next level. From houses to anything outside in the landscaping in this miniature gardening. Fences, trellises, arbors, furniture, landscape, vegetables, and plants. From party lights to string across your new miniature patio to miniature clotheslines complete with clothes hanging in the backyard. And we have loads of the cutest little evergreens that just came in from Oregon, all little 2 and 4 inch pots, including Jean's Dilly, Alberta Spruce, and even dwarf little elm. New little crushed landscape glass from blue color for your stream to black jelly bean color smooth for your landscape beds and your miniature gardening. Come again today and join us from 10 to 4. Workshops going on this morning from Fat Blossom Farms. Then Arlena will start in the early after lunch. Miniature gardening can be done for outside or inside, depending on your plants that you put in your design. The plants from Oregon, outside grown, hardy for the outside climates. But then we have itty-bitty teeny weenies, and those are indoor house plants that are meant for like the indoor little fairy garden that you could put inside, like in your front porch or your front window. So it's only $6 a head or $10 for family, and it doesn't matter how many people come in that family, bring them all, and let's have a blast today. So gardening like that might be easier. I was just, I really enjoy that. And I'll tell you, it would probably be easier doing that than what I was trying to do the other day. I was setting up statuary outside at our store. Larry, that rain was pelting my face. But I guess we call them Michigan-determined gardeners.
That's a good way to put it, Andy.
And I could say, Michigan gardeners unite.
Guys, I like that, too.
I'm just kidding on the unite part. But you know what? A lot of us
I think farmers are pretty united. That's a pretty close brotherhood there.
Yes, it is. You know, a lot of us, I will call them diehard gardeners, are just, we're starting spring without the weather. We said humbug about the weather. We're going to continue on. We're going to force spring. So people are gardeners are starting to come out of their hibernation. And think there is a lot more to Michigan weather than just that white, fluffy stuff that happens 6 months a year. So let's get our gardener list when we come back in a second. We got lots of checklists. There's plenty of to do. You guys are all scratching your head going, what do I do in this sunny, snowy day? But we got a big checklist that Larry and I can go over.
You bet. It is 9:13:33 and Over the Garden Fence with Andy Waddell. We'll be right back. If you have a question this morning, by all means, give us a call, 382-4280 or toll free, 877-382-4280.
If you've ever wanted to explore the magic of miniature gardening, here's your chance. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center is pleased to welcome Arlena Schott, the host of the hit TV show Gardenwise Living, for her magical miniature garden workshop today. Start the day with Liz from Fat Blossom Farm, and you'll be able to build your own fairy house, gnome home, or hobbit habitat. Workshops for all ages begin at 10, 11, and 12 noon. And then from 1:30 to 2:30, Arlena Schott presents her magical miniature garden seminar. The day will conclude with a special workshop with Arlena from 3 to 4 p.m. And remember Waddell's Garden Party Cafe for a quick snack or delicious lunch. It's all happening at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center. It's not too late to find out more. Call Waddell's at 345-1195 or visit Waddell's.com. Waddell's is located on Texas Drive at the roundabout with Milliman 12th Street. See for yourself just how fun miniature gardening can be. See TV's Arlena Schott from Gardenwise Living today at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center.
Welcome back to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. And it looks like spring is finally making an arrival here, and you're anxious to get out in the garden, and you need some tips, and this is just the man to do it. Once again, here's Andy.
Hey, everybody. And there we are, everybody. Thank you. And thanks for joining us this morning on this beautiful, sunny, maybe a little chilly, but warm inside.
I'll take it, though. You know, when I look over at this thermometer and it says 33 now, when I was accustomed to seeing it at 7, you know, 4, things like that. No, I'll take
it. Shoot, yeah, man, 33. We're 1 degree above freezing here, man. Where's the bathing suits? Come on, everybody. So, yeah, we one of our employees this week wore shorts to work, Larry, and so we just knew John was, you know what, he was tired of winter. It was like, brr, a little too cold, everybody. But you know,
that's making a statement, though.
That's right. You that's know. Right. So, guys, we talked about the miniature gardening. It's a fun little project. Come on down today. Join us. It'll be a lot of fun. But there's a lot to do out in that yard. So let's start from the beginning. Danielle and I were at the porch the other day, kind of scratching our head, looking at what we consider our vegetable garden. We've seen last year's leftover weeds, some raspberries sticking out of the pile, and raspberry branches, and a lot of cleanup over there. And we were both talking about, let's pick out that new size, maybe a bigger vegetable garden. Little bigger spot area that we can actually work with instead of having all the weeds take over. Number two, let's you guys the same way. Think about that vegetable garden. This year, sustainability is definitely in, and yes, that's a very overused word, but hey, this year might be the year that you can get a good vegetable garden and get some rewards from it. So then let's kill out all the existing weeds. Kill it out with Kills All with spreader stickers so you can actually plant. Don't use 2,4-D because you won't be able to plant vegetable gardens for quite a while then. Number three, then grab your journal, come into Waddell's, and start picking out spring seeds. The best selection is now. Later on, people say, oh, man, bummer, I missed that one kind of tomato. Well, now is the time to pick it out. Now, we have many varieties of seeds this year, including Burpee, Renee's Gardens, Botanical Seed Interest, Seed Saver Seed Exchange. It's a vault system that was many, many generations have held onto these seeds, and then they've been reintroduced to the public, which is kind of cool. Got a lot of heirloom variety of seeds. Plus, we have a new bulk, great varieties of bulk seeds. It's a great savings, fresh new varieties. Come down and see Don or Brian or Mark to help pick those out.
Now, do seeds have any kind of shelf life? I thought they did. They went back or went bad after a while. Then
they
how
do.
Can you stockpile them in?
Yep. In bulk, they have just a one-year shelf life. So they're rated for this year's sales. And they can be sold until the next year in March. And then we either, some of them, Larry, we give back to the company.
Okay.
And they either redate it or use them somewhere else in, say, third world countries, or they are pitched and the new crop comes in.
Okay.
We've picked enough bulk, Larry, that we didn't go hog wild, but there's enough for the Kalamazoo and Portage surrounding areas to pick out this spring. A lot of it, Larry, is you start looking at some of the packets, and there's not a lot of seeds in those actual packets.
No.
A couple bucks, $2 or $3, and some of the scoops, say the scoop of beans, Blue Lakes, were 90 cents a scoop. So you get a lot of beans for 90 cents, and that's a lot of harvest, good return.
All right.
So you got bulk seeds, you got new varieties. Come out and take a look at them. Hey, next thing is maybe we talked about it in our own garden. We did raised beds last year. It was great success. So you end up filling them with garden blend, mix it in with some dairy dew, add some mites and some Espoma, the mycorrhiza, the beneficial mites, some of the Espoma plant tone in the bed, and if you're not doing raised beds, put them in the rows out in the garden. Now, last summer, we didn't quite have an issue, but next, maybe think about what am I going to irrigate those plants with? This past year, we did have the drought like we did the year before. We had a lot of moisture, so we had a lot of fungus. So maybe avoid spraying your vegetables and go drip. Drip irrigation saves water, saves money, saves time. Do I need to repeat? Saves water, saves money, saves time. Drip irrigation by far helps in disease and fungus and weeds. You're not going to water the weeds. They won't grow near as much. You won't spray the cucumber with moisture on the wrong time of the day. The foliage is going to be great. Powdery mildew doesn't come on. Come see our team on mapping out your drip system today. You won't believe how reasonable it actually is. Next on our list, warm weather is coming soon. So dormant oil or Volk oil needs to be done soon. Fruit trees, anything that's dormant right now, you're going to put on before bud break. Bud break probably will happen within the next week or so. And if you have lime sulfur, go ahead and use that. Lime sulfur was taken off the market just this past winter, so a lot of people have it in their lineup at home. But if you a combination of the Volk oil for the smothering and the lime sulfur for the disease, that's what we strongly suggest. First thing to kick things off, especially like raspberries, fruit trees, apples, peaches, pear. So next thing on our list, how about that yard? We talked about real fast, went through heavily on the yard last week, but rake, fluff, get rid of the snow mold, lawn fungus control. Now I still have a couple snow banks on the west side of my barn. And Eli and me were actually, Larry, pushing him down the sled on it this week. It was still a couple, 2-3 feet high. Well, now the snow's left, and, oh, the lawn, it almost has a dark green-black look to it. Doesn't look.
Yes, it does.
You put me underwater all winter long, I'm not going to look very
good. You're not going to be in great shape either. No, I know. Just one glance out the window tells me there's quite a bit to do out there. So
lawn fungus control would be smart. Overseeding 1.5 to 2 pounds per thousand on getting that area prepared. And we got really, folks, 5th of April, I bet you have easy month and a half, before month, 5 weeks before you have to do crabgrass control. So you got plenty of time to do overseeding. So maybe next on our list, plan out your landscape ideas. Somebody said the other day, man, I wish I had gotten started. Well, now's the time. Come over and talk to one of our many nursery water garden designer people and walk through. Get design, plan on talk, plan on drawing, plan on erasing. You know, that's what a good plan is. Mary does great designs here at Waddell's. And I love it because Mary is not set on a plan. Plans are for change. Sometimes there's a contractor that's so stuck with a certain item on his plan, he can't vary off to the left or to the right. Well, it's your ideas, your houses. So we put the ideas on paper. Don't matter us if you scratch it out and say, no, I don't like this. Let's add this and switch that around. It's your home. That's the idea with the plan. Getting it out on paper. So maybe you want to say that new deck, that new patio. You know, I listen to Greg Crawford almost every week. He does great deck work. We could do the landscaping right around it. Just a little combination. So time to go to break, Larry. I got lots more maybe on pruning and on bugs, too. The bugs are coming. And the only reason I know, Larry, is on the south side of the house. Those dumb little ladybugs were already starting to come on the hot of the sunny day the other day.
Oh, so. Really? I haven't seen any of those yet. Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. We'll be back in just a moment. If you have a question, let us hear from you. 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280. It is 824.
Fresh fruits from your own backyard will provide you the best quality fruit around and save you a bunch of money over supermarket prices. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center has a great selection of fruit trees and berry plants, and now's the best time to plant them. This week, you can save up to $10 on your choice of fruit trees. Choose from over two dozen varieties of 6 to 9 foot fully branched fruit trees growing in pots and ready to transplant, sale price at just $42.88 and $52.88. There's nothing tastier than strawberry shortcake with fresh Michigan strawberries. Pots of 25 strawberry plants are now just $9 or $10. Many other fruit and berry plants have just arrived at Waddell's, including raspberries, blackberries, and grapes. Don't forget the healthy benefits of herbs in your diet. Fresh herb plants have just arrived. There's a great selection, and they're just $3.69 each. Now is also the time to plant potatoes, onions, garlic, asparagus, and more for the tastiest food fresh from your own garden. Growing your own healthy food is easy, especially with the advice of the friendly staff at Waddell's Nursery, Forest, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Millen and 12th Street.
Welcome back, 825. Once again, here's your gardening expert host, Andy Waddell. We've got some phone calls for you today, and we've got Mary in Lawton. She is our first caller. Mary, good morning.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day today.
It is a beautiful
day. We'll take it.
Even in Lawton, how's it going today?
It's great out here. Sun shining. Question. On our farm, I found some wild black raspberries. Mm-hmm. And wondering, should I be trimming them back? They produced well last year.
You bet. Mary, I would say yes. The idea is wild raspberries grow all by themselves, no problem. But if you look, raspberries in general, wild or ones you buy, bloom and flower and fruit on second year growth. So the older established canes that are the older canes that you picked off of or the mother canes last year, let's go ahead and cut those back. Get rid of those, and even if they're wild, that'll flush out new roots to come up with new growth. Okay, let's take the ones that you've left, the ones that you want to keep, Mary. Mm-hmm. Let's cut those maybe back to 30 inches, 20, 24 to 30. You're going to leave 6 or 8 good main buds on that stem. That's going to be plenty of growth for that raspberry to take off. Then my last thing is maybe you want to do a little food. It's still a ways away before they still flower. I would not feed strawberries in the spring, but raspberries you could do. Even something like Espoma Plantone would be very good on wild black raspberries and get a little better crop for the summer.
Okay. Another question. We put in strawberries last year and again, had some nice strawberries coming on. Wondering about when to start getting the leaves away from them and putting some straw down.
You bet. That's that was actually on my notes this morning I didn't get to. So I would go ahead and start fluffing those. out, Mary. Get the leaves away from them. But you just said the next right point. You got to get some straw in the spot. Those leaves are protecting that fresh strawberry plant that's coming up. But if we rake everything out and we still get many cold nights ahead of us, you might set that strawberry back. So fluff and get rid of the leaves, but then I'd go ahead and get a bale of straw and tuck some of those strawberries back in amongst that straw foliage then.
Should I also start moving some of the baby vines?
Yep, that'd be fine. Yep, you can go ahead and cut those and reset those back into the row. Those, Mary, though, for sure mulch. Those are being young. You don't want those to upheave in the frost.
Right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck on the strawberries and raspberries.
Thanks again.
Thanks, Mary. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call, Mary. Now we have Ed in Portage. Ed, good morning.
Ed, how are you?
Hey, morning, Andy. I saw you on Wednesday, but I forgot to ask you this question.
Yes.
When can I put in my dwarf peas? I hear things they say like, well, the ground temperature optimum should be 46 degrees. I have no idea what the ground temperature is.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That you are right. I don't know the temperature either of the ground yet either. But here's what happens with peas. I think we get, for years, I remember peas being an early spring crop. My dad would always put them in early. But I think the timing was the wetness and that cold ground. And when you get a early spring, real cold spring, like we've had so far, yeah, that ground will probably, same with beans, rot out a lot of that seed itself, or get them going and they'll dampen off, meaning that the seed will germinate.
Yeah.
The growth will come up into that, push through the ground, but then that top level, a layer of soil is too wet or too cold, and a lot of that cane or that stem will end up rotting off. I don't think the vigor is there when it's at an early, early stage. So myself is, I'd wait a couple more weeks at least.
Okay, because, you know, the last couple of years, and I know we've had early warmth, I've had really good luck, and I put them in, I always write it in the calendar. I'm going like, man, I'm way behind. But
yeah,
when I go out there and I see how wet it is, I'm going like, I don't think this is a good idea. Yeah.
Here's my other thoughts, Ed.
Yeah.
We put in a couple years ago, two crops of peas. First crop, and not so, they were okay. They got in the early. We got an early jump. Then we got a bunch of frost and got cold. Then we thought they really set back. We put in a second crop of peas and beans. They did 10 times better.
When did you put those in?
5th of May. Maybe okay. 30th of April, right in there, after that ground warmed up. But you don't want to get it to a point where it's hot already, because the peas, they want to get themselves established before it gets hot. So
I've done that with beans. I put some in early. I call those my gambler beans. I may lose them.
That's
or
right.
I may get them.
So, Ed, we do have soil thermometers. That's what I was getting at.
You do.
We have thermometers that for compost,
yeah,
we have thermometers that you stick in a compost pile would work on that soil temperature also.
Oh, that's
so
great. That's
so
great.
Next time you're in, let's take a look at them.
Oh, I'll come in later in the week. That's great. I didn't, because I'm going like, I can't put a regular thermometer in the ground. That's
no,
kind of work, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're going to tell. If you see a cold night and the thermometer that's above ground is freezing, chances are that ground is not going to thaw. I'd still wait on the peas.
Okay.
All right. All right,
thanks
Ed.
Thanks a lot,
good luck.
Andy. Love your show. Bye.
Thanks for your call.
I'm sure a meat thermometer wouldn't work because it's like a big nail.
It is. It's believe it or not, it's along those same lines.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
It is.
The fact we had a harsher winter could set things back a little bit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie in Portage. Let's say hello to Carrie. Good morning.
Hey, Carrie. How are you?
Good morning.
How can I be of help?
We have a small. Is it dwarf? Dwarf Japanese maple that we put in about 4 years ago. We bought it from you guys, and it's probably my favorite tree. And the snow this winter has destroyed the top of it.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is it salvageable? Do I have any options, or is it a lost cause?
No, Carrie, I don't say it's a lost cause. What I'd probably do is get up next to the plant, and do you see, is the stem, the main trunk, Carrie, is that broke right over, or is just the plant, the head itself, been smashed, the foliage and some of the branches crunched?
All of the foliage, there's still some snow around it, but all of the foliage, you know, that was that beautiful top is all snapped off, but the trunk itself is still there.
Yeah. So what I do, Carrie, is probably, let's see what Mother Nature brings on in the next month. We get some good warm temperatures. That plant, even on the stem, even though the head is broke off, probably will start leafing out. You're going to then determine, do I want to leave that plant? Yes, you said it's your favorite plant in 4 years. It's somewhat established. So maybe that's a plant you want to say, you know what, we're going to nurse it along. Even it's got just a couple, two or three little branches on it. We'll let it survive and leave it there. Or, Carrie, you might say, let it leaf out again. And you say, you know what, it's in our front yard or our side yard where everybody's looking. Maybe you lift that up and put it back in your perennial garden and see if it grows there and put another one in. Then next winter, Carrie, if it's the snow issue, put a teepee over the plant. Put three fence posts and some wire, or we have shrub wraps that are a zipper, like a tent that goes over like a Japanese maple or rhododendron that gets smashed really bad by the snow. That would prevent that snow load from getting on that head of that Japanese maple.
I learned that one the hard way.
Yeah. My thoughts are everything. We were looking at a juniper yesterday in our yard yesterday, and the wife said, hey, we got to get rid of that. I said, wait a while. Chances are it's going to leaf out. Well, Japanese maple the same way. Let's at least see if it buds out, see what's left to that stump or the stem of it itself, and see if you determine then, hey, doesn't look like much. Let's pull it out, put it in the backyard, and get another one.
Is there anything I need to do to the branch, to the spots where the branches tore off to protect it? And
yep.
Is there anything particular I could fertilize it with that would hurt it?
No.
Should I snip it down?
Good question. Yes, ma'am. So I would say anything where it's torn, go ahead and put on a wound dressing. It's a little tar. I wouldn't necessarily spray, but that wound dressing is like a little tar you can apply with a putty knife, and it'll actually fill in those little cavities where the branch is torn off. And any type of food, if you wanted to do a Japanese maple, a spoma holly tone, or the holly tone is great for Japanese maples. Won't burn. Love the plant. The food, you can put down half pound or 5 pounds of being organic. It won't burn, Carrie, so it'd be great for the plant.
How soon should I do that?
Today. Yep. Feeding on early spring shade trees and Japanese maples, you could start today, anytime.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you got a little project ahead of you, but you want to have us evaluate that Japanese maple. You could always take a picture and bring it in, and we could kind of see where you're standing.
I was going to say you'd probably like to get a look at that one, and you could really tell that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could with just one glance. I mean, it sounds salvageable.
You know,
what you say there.
It's up to you, Carrie. Again, bring it in sometime on your phone, and we'll take a look at it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for the call, Carrie. And we've got Sally in Kalamazoo on the line. Sally, good morning.
Hey, Sally.
Good morning. I have somewhat of a similar problem. I have a rhododendron in the front of my house, and the branches are, I have three or four branches completely split away from the main trunk. And so I don't know what to do with it. I don't know if I should remove the plant or try to seal dress it. What should I do?
Yep. Sally, if the branches are torn away and are just laying in the lawn, that branch will never adhere to the plant again. If the plant is still holding on to a chunk of the branch and is still somewhat attached, if I'd say there's maybe 30% of the skin holding on or better, I would take a wire brush to the wound. Wire brush one side, wire brush the other side. Create a brand new wound. Get the tree wound dressing in between that wound. Bring the branches together, or the split, or the crotch, or the Y of the branching, bring it together, and tree wrap that with tree wrap, and then go up the branch a couple feet with, we got some Velcro stretch tie, and then stretch tie that trunk so there's no weight on your wound that you've put the Band-Aid around, tree wound dressing around the compound and the compound in the wound. That's what I'd suggest. So I would, that's the determination. You think, Sally, that a lot of those branches are still holding?
There's only one that looks really solid. The rest look like they're completely split.
Yep.
The other thing I have right on the bottom, it looks like the bark has been eaten away or pulled away, and then there's little holes. Is there some kind of a disease on it then?
No, Sally, what that is rodents. When your rhododendrons were buried in snow for the winter, you had we did not get a very good frost or frozen, so a lot of mouse, shrew, and vole activity was still happening underneath the snow piles. So that is girdling And if you see that the chew marks go all the way around the rhododendron and there's no bark left, chances are, Sally, that plant's a goner. I'm not trying to be, wave a flag at it, but if there is 100% girdling all the way around the tree, that's going to be hard to repair. If it's just chew marks, Sally, and you've left, the mice have left some of the trunk where there's skin on it, go ahead and repair that with the wound dressing at the same time.
Okay.
Yep.
You're
going to
know. Thank you so much.
Sally, you're going to know right away in about a month and a half. The plant will flower, leaf, and then wither. And if that withering happens, chances are that plant's a goner from the cambium layer eaten up by the mice.
Okay.
Okay. Good luck.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Sally. Next, we have Betty in Vicksburg. Good morning, Betty.
Hey,
good
Betty.
Morning.
How are you today?
Fine. Thank you.
How can I be of help? Oh, it is.
I have a question. I have about three questions. First, the snow was so deep this winter that I couldn't trim my pin oak. I'm too late, aren't I?
Well, Betty, what I'd have you do is walk out there in the lawn when you're done here. Take one of those bud tips in your fingers. Look at it really close. If you don't see green on that bud, I would do it today. Very soon we want to tell everybody stop pruning oak. But are you just trimming the whole entire plant, or are you just taking some limbs?
No, I just have some lower limbs that it's hard to walk in under them. You know how they droop.
You bet.
So I would like to trim them, and I just couldn't do it this winter.
Yep, that's all right. So, Betty,
I will do that.
The same thing. The idea is don't allow oaks to have an open wound. So when you cut, I would immediately put, just talking to the last Sally, put the wound dressing right on that cut after you do it, even before you move on to the next plant. The idea is oaks do get that sudden oak wilt and oak decline, and the concept is to make sure those wounds are healed right away when the dormant season comes to a close.
Okay, will do that.
Number two?
I have a fat Albert spruce that's you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
I planted it probably 16, 18 years ago, and it's really nice. But I noticed after this winter, there's a lot of burn on the southeast side,
yes,
I assume,
ma'am.
From the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there anything I can do about that? That's about 5 feet high,
yes.
Which I think is high as it will get.
Yep. There is, for next winter, you can put a spray down, and it probably you have not seen this before on the burn as,
no.
as yep, this is a bad year. We had a lot of very severe cold and a lot of wind. So there is a spray called Cloud Cover. You apply it on Thanksgiving weekend, and it seals moisture into the tip growth so things like that don't burn. For the plant right now, Betty, what I would suggest is leave the burn on. I would let Mother Nature push it off. Chances are it's 16 years old. It's going to still be alive. It probably didn't lose the plant. But I'd put some Espoma Hollytone on that. I really would do a feeding to offset that burn. You're probably going to lose some bud stock on that side.
Okay.
Or wrap it with burlap. I know that's unsightly next winter, but you can wrap it and put burlap in. The burlap, Betty, does not avoid sun and the cold. It just avoids that wind coming through and avoids the burn. But that cloud cover does the same thing.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay.
My third question is the hollytone. I had about 110 evergreens, mm-hmm. and I live out in the boonies, and the deer just completely decimated them.
I'm sorry.
About 6-7 feet up as far as they could reach.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I'm going to fertilize them with a hollytone. Should I do that twice this year? Hoping they'll come back some.
Yes, I would. I would hit it now. I just told a gal on the phone a few minutes ago to start feeding. If you haven't done any feeding in the last couple years, spring and fall, what you're going to do, Betty, is get that plant established for spring, get some oomph in it as soon as it leaves out, and then once it goes fall, it'd be good to get another application so you just know that plant goes to winter with food.
I will do that. I'll try to put something on them next year so that the deer, this is the worst year, of course, with everybody that's had with the evergreen trees.
Yeah.
They just, but I do notice that they do come back some.
They do. Betty, there is a new item that is, we've had sprays for years, repellents, urines, different things that repel the deer.
Yeah.
But they've never had a pill, and it's a pill that you could put at the right time into the roots, push it down the dirt. The plant drinks it up and makes it a nuisance for the deer. The deer don't like it. It's a Repellex tablet. So the next time you stop in, ask for the Repellex tablets. It's okay. It's a new concept that a lot of fruit orchards are having very good luck with because of the issues with the volume of the deer.
To cause it not to taste good?
Correct.
It didn't sound like it caused a smell, nope. But first lick, they're like,
yep.
Not this one.
And Betty, it won't kill the deer at all.
No.
It'll totally deterrent, though.
Okay.
It's a castor oil base.
That would deter me.
They don't like it, Betty.
I will try that next fall, then.
Yeah.
Thank you for your help. Have a good day.
Thank you, Betty.
Thank you for the call, Betty. We're going to stay in Vicksburg and talk to Ellen. Good morning, Ellen.
Hey, Ellen,
good
how
morning.
Are you?
Beautiful morning out there.
Oh, man, it is, even in Vicksburg. So what's going on today, Ellen?
Are those so-called cocktail fruit trees any good?
Well, Ellen, you know what? They're kind of I won't say they're a fad. They are actually a pretty cool idea. And for everybody that doesn't know, Ellen, they're at one trunk that's got multiple grafts on a plant. And so for cross-pollination, Ellen, like for an apple, they put three or four plants on one stem, and that way you don't need to buy multiple plants. But, Ellen, you got to know that apples or pear, they all grow at different levels, different ratings. They grow faster, some grow slower. So the concept is you'll have to keep that plant in tune. So one chunk, say if it's an apple, Jonathan doesn't grow faster than Macintosh. It sounds funny, but I like the concept, but I wouldn't rely on the whole orchard for cocktails. I might put a little variety in there along with that cocktail tree.
I just wondered about it for home use.
Oh, yeah. It's a great idea. When you only have a spot for one tree, it's an ideal. We have it in pear and in apple and in 5-gallon form, I think in a 7-gallon form, too, at the store in those varieties with multiple plants on one stem, which is kind of cool. So,
are they all the same variety of plants?
Nope. They are different. They have to be to cross-pollinate. So, Ellen, let me finish up off the air with you, and I will tell you more about those cocktails. Give me one second here. So, Larry, I thank everybody, all the great callers today.
Yes, we had some great calls. And, of course, spring, everybody's getting anxious to get out there and get those hands dirty. So,
yeah.
Thanks very much, Andy. We will talk to you next week. And this has been Over the Garden Fence with your host, Andy Bedell. Join us again next Saturday morning after the 9 o'clock news. Coming up next, your financial planner with Ron Weiser on 590 WKZO. It is 8:45.